Genesis 50, verses 20 through 21 says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. This is an amazing thing on a human level. Joseph was betrayed by 10 of his 11 brothers, subtracting Benjamin, who was too young and absent from the party of 10, who sold Joseph into captivity. Just think of how cold and heartless this act was. They had no idea what would become of Joseph. They had no idea where he would be taken. They had no idea whether he'd be physically abused or even killed. And while Joseph seemed to fare pretty well throughout most of his time in captivity overall, he was still robbed of his family, robbed of his life in the promised land with his father, robbed of his relationship with his brother Benjamin, his sister Dinah, and other loved ones. And even though Joseph ended up being the most powerful man in the world, second only to Pharaoh, it would be completely understandable on a human level if he would have used his power to simply destroy these 10 men. But that's not what happened. What happened was that Joseph became the savior, with a small s, to those 10 betraying brothers of his. And he not only saved their lives, but he showed forgiveness and compassion to them. He said, "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. That's exactly what he did. Joseph became a merciful savior to the very ones who caused his suffering. And this serves as a type and shadow of the life of Jesus. Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So like Joseph, Jesus ends up in the world, which is typified by Egypt. And he was subject to the treatment of men who were lesser than him, who were unfit to even loose his sandal, as John the Baptist would put it later. And instead of just casting all of us sinners into hell, Jesus is patient, he's long-suffering, he's merciful, and he extends his grace, his saving grace, to all who will repent to God with faith toward him and his shed blood in death on the cross, trusting in the power of his resurrection for eternal life. But even as he was dying on the cross, Luke 23:34 tells us, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." In practical terms, Jesus could have enacted punishment and even vengeance on Peter and the others who forsook him as he went to the cross, but he didn't. Instead, Jesus showed himself to them and accepted Peter and the other 10 surviving apostles, along with all the other believing disciples, into his company, and he restored them to full fellowship. He then reiterated his promise of sending his Spirit and providing their needs and eternal life when their lives came to an end. And the fact is, as we've said before, all of us sinners put those nails in Jesus' hands. Jesus laid aside his glory and came to this earth for each one of us, because each one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, as Romans 3:23 says. Jesus is all compassionate and will save all who will come to him. He shows himself loving, gracious, compassionate, and faithful to every one of us who will receive him as Lord and Savior. And there's more to be seen about Jesus, obviously, in the life of Joseph in the form of types, shadows, and gleanings. But we'll move on from looking at the life of Joseph as we continue our journey through the Word of God to see that the Bible is a book that is all about Jesus. In the meantime, let's entrust our souls into his care and make the remainder of our mortal lives here on earth all about Jesus.